Father, thank you that in each one of us resides you, that because of our faith in Jesus, you give us your Holy Spirit. And that gives us purpose, purpose that unites us all together and unites us to you. Lord, I pray that we would continue to sort out how that purpose supersedes our preference at times and how at times our preferences lead us to our purpose. Lord, I pray that we would continue to work through that process together. I pray most clearly that we would listen to you in that process, that we would do the things that you would want us to do, that we would glorify and honor you with all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to try to wrap up what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks in one more talk this morning. Try to weave it all together to help understand why it's important that we understand the difference between purpose and preference and when they need to be separate and when they need to be combined. Because some of that happens in our lives in both of those scenarios. Understanding that our purpose is first and foremost that we are in the image of God, that He breathed His very breath of life into us, wanted to take care of us, gave us a place where He would do that for us, provided us as the pinnacle of His creation. We were in every way His image. That's who we are. It's who we were designed to be as part of His creation. We were never meant to be like God. We were meant to be with God in a relationship, in a partnership with Him. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how to have purpose, preference, and partnership. What does that look like now? How do we work that out? At one point, we would have been with God in our daily walks. We would have spent time with Him, Him leading us. The Israelites got to experience that even in the early going. They had a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day to literally follow the physical manifestation of their God. They got to be with God. And yet, when Moses went away for a little while to spend time with God, and they didn't have something in front of them, what did they make? A little golden cow, right? He was gone for a period of time, and they said, we need something to worship because we can't figure out how to worship what we can't see, feel, taste, touch. And they struggled with that, and God knew in that moment it had to be different again. And He had an unfolding story from beginning to end to help give us a complexion of who He is and the kind of relationship that we get to have with Him. That even though every morning I don't wake up and God's not sitting in a chair waiting for me there, He is. That every night when I go to bed, I don't say, hey, Lord, we'll see you in the morning, sleep well. But I do. We have that kind of relationship with our God because that's how it was designed to be with Him. We were never intended to be like God. We were intended to follow Him. We were intended to be following hard after Him, allowing Him to lead in our lives, helping us to understand that the things we do in our life during the day, they're not to be calculated as sacrifices for Him, right? We're not supposed to keep track of all the things I do for God in a given day, but yet, how obedient was I to Him today because He laid all these things in front of me, right? So we talked about last week. That God in His infinite wisdom has chosen to save us by grace and yet allow us to not bear the responsibility of it being about us because it would only lead to arrogance. If you're truthful with yourself, all of the good decisions you've made in life, all of the successes you have had, have had an overwhelming impact on your confidence and possibly arrogance. I tell that to the football team all the time. What I have learned from success is arrogance. What I have learned from failure is hunger. And I never want to be arrogant. I always want to be hungry. God talks about that in His Word. To hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? It's amazing how all of the characteristics and the intrinsic qualities that God wants us to possess in His Scriptures apply to everything in our lives, doesn't it? If we allow it to, if we really think about it and immerse ourselves in what we were designed to be, who we were created to be, the purpose that resides in each one of us. It can be lived out on a daily basis for Him. And Ephesians 2:10 says that He has prepared good works in advance for us to do. There's no reason to believe it's you. There's reason for you to be thankful that God placed that opportunity in your path and to glorify Him through it, to succeed in it and do the best you can, but then give Him the glory for it. That takes all the responsibility off of you and gives all of the notoriety to the God that we serve. Yes, He puts us inside of our preferences and we get to do some of the things that we were designed individually to do, but they serve a greater purpose. And today I want to talk about how that really is the blending of what we have really been covering. That it's great if you figure out what your individual preference is and how God has designed you and the qualities that you possess in life to further the kingdom, but if they're used outside of what God's purpose is, His overwhelming purpose, the church, His body of Christ, then you're not doing it the way it was intended. The way that I want to illustrate that, first of all, is that we are all united together in the gifts that God gives us. And the first thing we've got to do is look at the Scripture and see, well, what does that really mean? And so 1 Corinthians 12, there's a couple of little nuggets here that I want to start with to help us remember that, yes, we've been given gifts and we've been talking for a couple of weeks about you figuring out your purpose and your preference and the individuality of it, because this faith of ours is both individual and corporate. Whether we want to believe it or not, that's the way it works. It's the way it was designed. And the first piece is that we fit into what is called the church universal. That there are people all around the world having global impact because they believe in Jesus. Just our movement alone, the Charis Fellowship, 100 years ago, 90% of our Charis Fellowship churches were here in North America. Now, 100 years later, 90% of our churches are somewhere else in the globe. We are far outnumbered by our brothers and sisters who are reaching people for Christ in Africa, in Malaysia, in Kyrgyzstan, places that I'm not even allowed to tell you who's there because their governments don't want them there. But they're part of this church universal idea. This 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they're doing what God designed them to do, but they're still a part of us here. Because in verse 4 through 6, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. At the point of salvation, and this is what we all need to understand, that whenever we humble ourselves and open our lives to the effects of salvation, the redemption, that we admit we have a Savior and that His name is Jesus, immediately we are given the Holy Spirit. We are then what is called filled with the Spirit. You've read it throughout your Bible at other times, probably heard other people talk about it. And it's not a mystical, magical thing. You may remember that moment and think, man, I felt really good when I finally surrendered my will to Jesus. And then all of the sudden, you start to think differently about your life. And you start to look at some of the things that you used to do and you think, man, I don't know if I should do that anymore. And you wonder where those thoughts come from. You wonder how all of a sudden can I see life and the world differently? It's because the Holy Spirit is your guide, your illuminator. It's the lamp under your feet and all of those pieces tied together the Scriptures talk about. It helps you to discern good and bad, some of those preferential things that we're going to determine in our life every day. It's an opportunity to continually surrender our will and say, Lord, help guide me to the right decision. Don't allow me in my human wisdom to figure it out, because that only goes so far. Our intellect may be vast, our vocabulary broad, but it only goes so far. Surrender to the Holy Spirit that is already in us to help guide us and lead us to the right decisions is a valuable piece of it. It's why people decide to go sometimes. To just pick up and move to Kyrgyzstan to preach the word to Muslims. Because they believe that God wants them to do that. It's why you may stop and help someone with a flat tire alongside of the road. Do you think left to your own devices, that would be something you would ordinarily do? In the world we live in, it's a difficult sell, isn't it? Yet if you surrender your will to the Holy Spirit that's in you and you continue to think about my preferences, my time schedule, how can I use that on purpose? How can I weave all of the things that I do into one fabric that represents God in the way that He really means to me? And we're all united by that same Spirit. That's the cool thing. That we're not all serving a different God. That we're in this room together this morning because we got up on purpose and came to church together because we believe it's important. Because we believe that it's something we need to do for our continued development and growth, encouragement, whatever reason you chose this morning. And we are all linked together by that same Spirit. All the gifts that we possess is all because of the same Spirit. Different kinds of working, because everyone, it is the same God at work. It's the same God at work in each one of us as we leave as well. The second couple of verses down, verse 12 and 14, also in 1 Corinthians. Operating inside of that global context, that church universal, Paul gives us this illustration that just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized into one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. And even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. It's an incredible illustration when you really think about it. When you think about how our bodies work and how necessary every part is. The simple act of getting out of bed in the morning, right? To be able to hear or see something that wakes you up. to process that in such a way that makes you open your eyes or move your feet to the floor. The chain reaction of events that has to happen just to get us out of bed in the morning is a pretty amazing thing. To work as one body, all of those singular parts, the reach it takes to hit the snooze, it's all part of the body. It's all working together. And Paul says that's what we are if we understand who Jesus is. We're all part of the body. We're part of that church universal. We're part of a cohesive unit to express to the world who Jesus is. Why does it upset me and others that try to get us to move in concert when we don't do that? Is because it presents Jesus as limited. We know He's not, but we have the opportunity in our world to work as one cohesive unit. So when we fight with other churches, it drives me crazy. Absolutely nuts that we cannot cooperate together for the cause of Jesus. That's preference. That's not purpose. That's style over content. In part of the church universal, there has to be a category where we can at least agree that Jesus matters, and we need to tell the world through our behavior that Jesus makes a difference. We've been given a pretty incredible opportunity here, even in Johnstown. We've been able to work with other churches and reach out and partner to do some things called Greater Things and our youth movements, some of the stuff that they're doing, things that we have brought other churches together to work together because of the cause of Christ, not for one church. Okay? It matters that you go to church and that you are a part of the body, that you're a partner in a local context, but bigger than that, we've got to think about the cause of Jesus around the world. It's part of who we are. That we understand those contexts. That we cooperate well with other people that love Jesus. Because that was the intent. That we get to be His representatives, His ambassadors throughout the world. Remember, we talked about at the very beginning that it's very difficult for people to have faith in things that they can't see, smell, hear, touch. We are the very tactile representation of Jesus. We are the thing that people bump into. And yes, that's on purpose. Because it helps us and it helps others. It helps us because we have to think about how we're acting, right? Because if we're honest with each other, we don't act the way we should all the time. It's okay. We're human. We're not going to get to the level that Jesus is at inside of this earth. It's not going to happen. We're human. But we're going to try, right? We want to try to represent Christ well. And sometimes that means we're going to have to rethink about. Honestly, there are a lot of people that ought to rethink about whether they put Jesus on the back of their car. Right? It really does matter because you represent Jesus to other people, folks, in a much broader context than we understand. We get to be a part of this church universal because we've all been given this one Spirit. We're all linked together and we have a consolidated purpose moving together. As individual as it is, it reflects on the corporate. Do you understand? And us working together is probably the most powerful illustration of Jesus' love and grace that there ever could be. To get a group of human beings to lay aside some of their preferences for the purposes of Christ is a miracle. It's not easily done, folks. To be able to continue to focus on what we are here to do. Ephesians chapter 3 is the last passage of Scripture that I want to focus on, because Paul talks a little bit about, and he was the writer of Corinthians. We looked at several other pieces through Paul. He was an Israelite. He was a guy that was at the top of his game. He was the guy that was a Hebrew of Hebrews, he calls himself. He was the guy that knew everything there was to know about the Bible and about its context and about the way that the law worked at that time in his world. Paul gets intersected by Jesus one day, and his entire life is interrupted, dramatically changed and shifted. And so he now has what he understands to be a new purpose. And he tries to articulate that here in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Yes, those of us that are here that are not of Jewish descent, that's us, okay? All of us. Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the people of other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, through Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. So we are now inextricably linked with all of God's purposes from the beginning of time. That's what Paul is saying. That his message to the Jews, his message to Abraham, to say that out of your seed is going to come one that's going to save the nations. His name will be Jesus, by the way. It has happened, and now the entire world has the opportunity to join in this thing that Paul calls the body of Christ, that church universal, that we get to be a part of that, that we have been grafted in, as they say, made a part of it, sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Paul goes on, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. So Paul changed his mind, right? I've been given this new purpose by God's grace. That's how I got here, is what he's saying. I was delivered from what I was doing, and now by His power, I'm going to do something else. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to them the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. And this was His purpose, folks, in verse 10. And this is why it's so important that we understand, yes, individually, God created us in the image of God, but He created all of us in the image of God. And working together makes a difference. Because His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He puts everything that God has been doing from eternity past all the way through our own individual eternities. He puts all of that squarely on the church. That it is our number one job. That if we cannot work together, then we hurt what it is that God intended for His church to be like. The understanding of purpose and preference is critical in your individual mindsets and in your individual opportunities, but it also is huge here. Corporately. It's not easy to lay aside your personal preference for the purposes of Jesus in your own life. But what about your personal preferences for the purpose of someone who may be here this morning to hear about Jesus? We need to consider that there are others that have not heard the gospel. People in our own lives, people here this morning, people that may be here next week. And we need to seriously consider what is our preference and what is our purpose at times. Because there is no more beautiful picture of what Christ did than laying aside your preferences for the purposes of God. Remember the garden with Jesus pleading with His Father, "If there's any way you can take this cup from me, but if it's your will, Lord, I'll go." If we want to be the embodiment of a church and a people that follow Jesus, then we've got to understand this concept. We've got to understand what it looks like to be able to separate our preferences and His purposes. I've been in church all my life. I've been fortunate to have been raised in church. I've also been in some churches that have folded at times because they fought over whether to go from chairs to pews or pews to chairs or red carpet to white carpet. They lost sight of the purpose of God. They focused on what they could see and feel and touch instead of being that to somebody else. Put on my coaching shirt today. I want to be really direct. On a football team, there's 11 men on there at one time. And I can tell you what, we can do a lot of things with 11 talented individuals. We don't often get all 11. But we put 11 out there no matter what. And they do their job, it works well. If I get 11 talented athletes on the field and they are doing their jobs well and not worried about what that guy's doing, we could win a lot of football games. But I coach 13 to 14-year-olds. And I hear a lot of, "But coach, what about? But coach, this guy over here, he..." Well, okay, son, back up a minute. What were you doing that you were able to see what he wasn't doing? You see, if we spend time focused on what everybody else is not doing, then you're not doing anything either. You're just standing around waiting for somebody else to screw it up. I don't find that in Scripture. I don't see it anywhere. The body of Christ was not meant for that. The body of Christ was meant to be a place that when we do get hurt by somebody that doesn't understand who Jesus is, that we have the ability to render aid and support and say, you know what? Hey, that guy just made a great play. Let's regroup and figure out how to not let it happen next time. Right? That's what it should look like. That we have an opportunity to hold each other up. To be engaged in a fight that we're in together. The opportunities are all around us. We have been given a tremendous amount of latitude here in our world, inside of the United States, to do some pretty incredible things, folks, that don't exist in other parts of our world. The fact that we can talk freely about Jesus is just one piece of what we've been given that people around the world don't have. The way in which we personify the body of Christ matters. The way that we treat one another and the way that we treat others matters. And again, the most beautiful portrait that I can paint for you is that one of Jesus laying down all of his preferences, saying, Lord, I'm willing to give up my life for the greater good. Because I know what it means. And Paul talks about it. He says, because of Jesus, all of us get to come into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Paul's saying. That we are now sharers in the promise of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. That he gave up the preference he had not to die so that he could become an instrument used by God to provide salvation to each and every one of us. And we have the opportunity to engage in letting other people know about that gospel. We get to do that. You want to know why I say that so much? Because that's how I feel. That's what I truly believe about Scripture. That I've been put in a place where I get to do this. When I got hired to be a pastor 14 years ago, the only way I could explain it was that I get to spend time with and tell other people about Jesus. What better job could I have? That's what I do every day. It's what God made me to be. What did He make you to be? Your purpose is that you are the image of God. Your preferences are how you get to live that out in the sight of others. How are you using the two to invite them into relationship with Jesus and then welcoming them into the body of Christ? Helping them to understand that they have a family of global proportions. That there are a lot of people who love Jesus in this world. And we get to be a part of it. We're going to be talking a lot this fall about what we'd love to do ramping up to next year. We're kind of calling it a year of mobilization. We want everybody to start thinking about what their preferences are and what God has uniquely made them to do, and then go do it. And so we've created some opportunities for that already. We've got other people leading the way in that. But if you have something that you think is unique to you, that you want to be a part of, then we got to know about it. Because we want to encourage others to support you or come alongside of you in doing those things. I told you the very outset of the sermon series, if you listen to it, that I was going to come back to this thing where I'm going to ask you for an hour. I love the fact that we are gathered here on a Sunday morning, but I want you to think about what you can do with one more hour during your week. I want you to really sit down and think about how much time do I spend sleeping, eating, working, all those things, and then where do I spend my discretionary time? And what could I do if I decided to carve out an hour and just do what my preferences have been designed to do for the cause of Christ? Where could that lead if we all did that? If we intentionally started there, what could it look like? I know that we have some ladies that go over to Prospect once a week on Thursday. It's an hour, hour and a half. But there's three or four other locations in Johnstown that still need people to do that. It can be that simple. They've got 20-some kids coming just to hear the word and eat snacks. It's a pretty amazing opportunity. What is it that God has crafted you to do, and how can you use it the way it was intended? The way it can make a difference. Father, thank you for the opportunity to hear from your word again. To be renewed in the understanding that you love us mostly. That you have done so much on our behalf. Lord, I pray that it continues to move our hearts and our minds into a place where we cannot help but give our lives back to you. That we would do as the Scriptures say, that we would offer our bodies as living sacrifices to you. That all of the things we do, that we do unto you. That whether we eat or drink or work or sleep, we do it all for your glory, Father. That we would be united in that one purpose. That all of our preferences would find a home there to unite us to your purpose for eternity. Lord, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.